This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
I think we need to just work hard till the end. I think that's important. You know, that's the message in the locker room. I mean, it doesn't matter the position we're in. I think everybody's got to, you know, give their best. And I think, you know, especially for young guys, you know, for next year and stuff like that, it's good to always good to finish the season strong.
Finish the season strong. That's the message from Jonathan Huberto on a game day. It is the Calgary Flames and the Anaheim Ducks. Flames looking to end off this homestand with a win against their Pacific Division rivals from Anaheim. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. Happy Tuesday. Logan Gordon along with you in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios on a Flames game day. Wet basement. They have a long-lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. You can visit them at dlbasementsystems.com. Busy show for you on this game day. It's the 7 o'clock puck drop Tuesday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. Pat Steinberg has your Flames warm-up at 6 o'clock. We'll get you the latest from the Flames locker room on a game day, including hearing from head coach Ryan Huska, Jonathan Huberto, and Martin Pospisil, all ahead of tonight's matchup with the Ducks. Also the latest on the lines and D pairings, plus your starting goaltender for tonight's matchup. Also a look at the opposition. Alexis Downey is going to join us from the Ducks, talk about their season. The rebuild continues in Anaheim. What does the season look like? What does the future look like for the likes of Trevor Zegras and others? We'll also dive in on the Toronto Blue Jays. Shan has our Jays report today, and we'll go in-depth with Sho Ali from Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto, host of the Jays pregame show. 10-0 final in Houston, open a series against the Astros as they were no-hit Monday night. Also, a look at the NHL scoreboard on a busy Tuesday. All of that as the program rolls on this Tuesday. A quick reminder, the fan feedback line is always open to you here on the show, 960-960. We'd love to hear from you on this Tuesday edition of the program. Shan and Cam are my outstanding producers. A wonderful intern Simon's along with us as well as we kick things off on this Tuesday. Flames and the Anaheim Ducks. Flames' playoff hopes, as we know, all but extinguished. With 9 games left, about building the right habits, keeping a winning mentality, and as Jonathan Huberto said there in the intro, fighting to have a strong finish to the season. And the Flames can continue that strong finish to the season if they're able to pick up 2 points against the Anaheim Ducks. That kicks off their April schedule, which is a bit of an odd one. This is the fourth last home game of the season for the Flames. Into Winnipeg for a one-game home road trip, on Thursday. Then back for a one-game homestand against Edmonton on Saturday before the California trip all next week. Then back home for the Coyotes. Into Vancouver to take on the Canucks. And back home to face the San Jose Sharks on the regular season finale night, April 18th. So the stretch begins for the Calgary Flames. Their final 9 games of the season are here. And yes, you've heard the message. You'll continue to hear the message. A strong finish for the Calgary Flames is what they're looking at. And the veterans, like Blake Coleman, like you'll hear from Jonathan Huberto in a bit, all about maintaining standards and maintaining a winning culture despite what's going to be a disappointing finish this year for the Calgary Flames. Let's tell you the lines and D pairings ahead of tonight's matchup with the Anaheim Ducks, of course, from our pal Pat Steinberg, the host of Flames Talk and the host of Flames Hockey here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan can tell you Rasmus Anderson is back after missing practice on Monday. He is good to go for a game day on Tuesday. So your lines and D pairings look like this. Huberto with Backlund and Coleman. Pospisil with Kadri and Kuzmenko. Zeri, Sharangovich, Coronado. Greer, Rooney, and Hunt. Uyghur is with Miramanov. Hanley with Anderson. Shillington is with Pahal. And this one has generated a little bit of buzz, but Jacob Markstrom gets the start in goal for the Calgary Flames, his second straight start. No Andrew Mangiapane still considered day-to-day, but will miss his third straight game. He was on the ice for morning skate, but is not eligible to go for tonight's game and will miss his third straight. Lucas Dostal will get the start in net for the Anaheim Ducks. John Gibson was the first off the ice, but Greg Cronin later confirmed that it'll be Dostal getting the start against Markstrom. Shan, any issue with Markstrom getting the back-to-back start? I know it's rubbed some Flames fans the wrong way this morning.
We knew it was going to be a discussion for the rest of the season, and it was most likely going to be some sort of, I don't want to say it was a 50-50 split, but somewhere close to there. And yeah, I guess one point you could make is that you'd like to see Dustin Wolf get the start against an Anaheim team that really is not strong in many areas at all. With that being said, he's already faced quite a few teams like that. That's essentially the games that he's got in the NHL. Yeah, he's played some good teams, and especially lately, why not give him another team? You got the Oilers coming up. You got a couple good teams coming up. So I wouldn't mind seeing him in one of those games or even both. So him not getting the start tonight, it doesn't mean all that much to me, but it depends on what happens in the next couple games.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think it's too early to be super upset about it one way or another, and you know, to go off of the rails. Oh, Wolf's not getting any starts, and they're giving it all to Markstrom. I don't think that's the case. I thought Jacob played pretty well, all things considered, in that game against LA. I know they didn't have a lot of shot volume in that game, but I thought Jacob looked fine. And yeah, you know what? If the basis of it is giving Dustin some tougher starts down the stretch, like if we do see Dustin against Winnipeg or Edmonton, I really wouldn't mind that. As you said, you know, maybe some more top-tier opposition for the goaltender. I'm just, until I get a better idea of the whole picture, I'm not going to be super upset. I do hope at a minimum we're talking about a split down the stretch, and I don't have any reason to believe that it's not going to be that. Dustin's played a lot of hockey of late. Maybe there's just an opportunity to give him an extra night off before this final stretch down the regular season over these last 3 weeks for the team. So, yeah, if you're one of those people today that are worried or super concerned that Markstrom's getting back-to-back starts and somehow that's going to suppress Dustin Wolf's opportunities down the stretch, I would just say let's temper expectations until we get more information down the stretch. If Thursday and Saturday go by and it's all been Jacob Markstrom, okay, we can have a bit more of that conversation. But for today, I think it's just too early to make a confirmed judgment one way or another.
And it's an interesting, real quick, an interesting way of looking at it, because we know Jacob Markstrom against the Oilers. We know the whole backstory behind that. Does he finally get a start against the Oilers for the first time in a while? Do they give it to Wolf? I think that's, I wonder if that's part of the plan for Ryan Huska and dealing with the goaltending situation based on that game.
We'll wait and see, but we know for tonight's matchup, it's Jacob Markstrom getting the start in goal, Flames and the Anaheim Ducks. Let's check in with the Flames locker room, starting with head coach Ryan Huska. His thoughts ahead of this matchup with the Ducks as he spoke to the media following morning skate at the Scotiabank Saddledome.
Rasmus, good to go tonight?
Good to go.
And no Mange?
No Mange, not tonight. No, he's close. Like you see him on the ice right now, he's close, but he won't play tonight.
Is he upper, lower, mid?
He has an injury.
I know he's talked about your veterans doing a good job of maintaining the emotional engagement, but when games are in this kind of stretch here, is it like are you in the room a little more frequently between intermissions or pregame, or like does your that change for you?
Nope, not for us. I mean, we've approached the games the same from day one to where we are right now. The message always changes based on the read you get from your team and situations, of course, but in regards to frequency and all that stuff, no, it all stays the same.
Ryan, given the position in the standings, how do you provide motivation, or is that just something that you kind of give off to your leadership crew with your veterans?
I think it's a little bit of everything, but at the end of the day, motivation often comes from within. So if you're a player that doesn't go on the ice and bring your best forward or best effort forward, then that says a little bit about the individual. They're paid to play the game and play it at the highest level they possibly can. And with that, no matter whether you're an older guy or a younger guy, there's responsibility that comes along with it. So I love the way a lot of our, almost every one of our guys are in our dressing room in regards to how they approach their games in different situations, and I will not expect anything different from them for the remainder of the year.
Ryan, you've had kind of some new-look pairings the last two nights. I guess one was out of necessity in St. Louis with Oliver, but what have you liked about the way that it's set up right now, and maybe that kind of chemistry between Braden and Oliver seemed to be kind of back where it started?
Yeah, well, when we put them together initially, there was something there. They seemed to kind of fit. Braden's very much a stay-at-home defenseman, knows who he is and knows how he has to play the game, and I think it gives Oliver a little bit of freedom, or maybe a feel like he had with Chris, that every once in a while I can join the rush or get myself involved in the play, knowing my partner's got my back. So you almost sense a little bit of that developing between the two of them.
And same with Joel and Rasmus, the way that that combination has sort of looked. Two games, I think.
Yeah, it's a short little sample size, but very similar. And I think with Joel, the one thing that we do like about Joel is I think he has a real good handle on who he is as well. And the last number of years, he doesn't play every game, or he hasn't played every game, and he's getting an opportunity to do that a little bit more here. And he's a competitive guy. And that's one thing that I really like about how he approaches his game. And if he happens to not be in the lineup, that's maybe the thing that I've been most impressed about him. His day doesn't change. He reminds me a lot of Michael Stone in that regard. So he's a real good teammate and a good character person.
How, what's the balance for a young player wanting to, whether it's score goals or do what have you, but figuring out your identity as a pro hockey player, and you kind of had to go through that yourself. Like how does someone do that? How does that change from when you're a younger player versus a guy like Joel who's been in the league for a long time?
Well, I think everybody comes in as an offensive player. It's at this level, they're all really good players when they're younger. But you find fairly quickly that, yeah, you know what I used to be able to do in junior or the American League doesn't work quite the same here because there's another level of player. So the smart players change who they are in order to play more. And I think that's why you see some guys or their games will evolve over time. Other guys understand that maybe the role that I used to play isn't what I'm going to play, and I've got to find a way to grab hold of that now. So it's more about experience, I think, and having an opportunity to be around a little bit and actually look at yourself in the mirror when the day is done and realize, what do I have to do to stay in the NHL? If it's generating offense, then I got to do that. If it's making sure I'm physical on the forecheck, then I better do that. Otherwise, I won't get an opportunity to stay and play.
Ryan, I was talking to Matt Coronado about the impact Dragon Hunt's had on him, like kind of being the same level at the same time. I'm just curious, not specific to those two, but in your experience at both levels, how important is it for a young guy to have somebody that they can kind of lean on, to have somebody that they can follow that way?
I think it's really important, and that's why I think you see with our American League team, Brad Pascal and his crew, they always try to find really good character, older players. And maybe to put a stamp on that statement, Andrew Mangiapane still talks about Matt Fratton and Lyndon Bay. And those were his line mates in Stockton. And they had quite the impact on him in regards to helping him understand how to play the game at the professional level, but also how to handle yourself off the ice and take care of yourself. And young guys need that. And if they have the right person showing them the way to go, then it just leads to a lot of positive things.
There you go. Checking in with the head coach on a game day. That is Ryan Huska following morning skate at the Dome. A little bit of everything there at the head coach. The update off the top about the two injured vets. Rasmus Anderson, good to go after missing practice. Andrew Mangiapane, well, close and did skate on Tuesday, will not play against the Anaheim Ducks. We'll probably look for him to join the group in Winnipeg for their lone road game this week against the Jets. But as of Tuesday, no Andrew Mangiapane for the group. So the lines and D pairings, very similar to what we've seen as of late. And yes, of course, Jacob Markstrom gets the start in goal. Interesting to hear. We've heard a lot of already about the Joel Hanley, Michael Stone comparison, and funny to see the coach see the same things in those two. Very quickly, started the program off hearing from Jonathan Huberdeau a bit of his media availability at the Saddle Dome on Tuesday. He's one of those vets preaching a strong finish to the season for the Calgary Flames, along with Blake Coleman, Nazem Kadri. These are the guys that are being relied on to help the youngsters through these final nine games. Here's Jonathan Huberdeau checking in with the media following a morning skate on a game day Tuesday at the Dome.
How you approach a game like today, and maybe what you want the younger guys in this room to learn during this final stretch?
Yeah, I think just to, you know, to all be, I think we need to just work hard till the end. I think that's important, you know, that's the message in the locker room. I mean, doesn't matter the position we're in, I think everybody's going to, you know, give their best, and I think, you know, especially for young guys, you know, for next year and stuff like that, it's good to, always good to finish the season strong.
You were on, I think, a Florida team or two early on that in your career that maybe didn't make the playoffs. Like, what do you remember about those times? Were there veterans in those rooms that made a difference for you and how you approached the game?
Yeah, I think when you see the veteran, they don't quit, and you know they're there till the end of the year. I think you want to follow them. So I think that's you know, the message we want to send as veteran leaders, and they need to follow us, and you know, we got to be a good team till the end, and you know, I think build the identity of our team.
Today is Autism Awareness Day, and I see you wearing the Autism Acceptance Band. Why is that important to you?
I think it's important. I mean, obviously, you know, we support a lot of stuff, but I think, you know, autism, everybody's welcome, and you know that's what we want to preach, and you know, just being there. And I think it's special, you know, special night for these people.
In your experience in situations like this, can there be a carryover? Like if you're talking about identity and culture, how easy is that or difficult is that to carry into an off season and into the following year?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's never easy to be in this position. But, yeah, I think the way you finish this season, it's, you know, as a team, like I said, it's more the identity, you know, to be strong till the end. And I think, you know, we had some good stretches during the year, so we need to finish on a good stretch. I mean, that's all we can do from now on. So
is it tough to kind of accept the position you're in, like how do you kind of swallow that pill type of thing?
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, I think you want to be in a spot that you can battle for a playoff spot, and you know, it's like I said, it's tough. You don't want to have long summers. It sucks. So but you know, we're in this position, so we just gotta, like you said, swallow the pill and just kind of work till the end. And it's important for a team.
There you go. That is Flames forward Jonathan Huberdeau talking about finish out the season strong. Some of the veteran experiences he's had back in some tougher days in Florida when he began his career as a member of the Panthers. He's back on that line with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman for Tuesday's game against the Ducks. Our final check-in on the locker room, on this Tuesday ahead of a matchup with the Ducks is with Martin Pospisil. He's one of the youngsters being coached through this tough end of the season for the Calgary Flames. Here's number 76 on a game day against the Ducks.
What are things you've learned from your veterans on this team, maybe off the ice, just about preparation or work ethic, things like that over the past little bit?
Yeah, the preparation is huge, you know. You're pretty much playing every second day, so you just gotta be ready to play. And sometimes it's not easy, but you know, just stay consistency and just play hard. And then at the end of the day, just enjoy the game, you know. We still have 9 games left, and I think we still can enjoy it and still have lots of fun. But first, we have to play hard. I think we showed it last game that we were really hard team to play against. So we just have to keep playing like that, and I'm excited for tonight.
What made the group so difficult to play against LA?
I think each line was really good, and we need everybody, we don't have really top individual guys, so we just have to play more as a team, and I think we showed the last game that if we play as a team, if we play hard, then we can win the game.
There's Martin Pospisil, your final check-in from the locker room on a game day, Flames and the Ducks, Tuesday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock, Flames warm-up with the one and only Pat Steinberg right here on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960. A couple texts here at 960-960, where the fan feedback line is always open to you. before we take our first break on the program. This text comes in. I think Huska is looking out for his own coaching record. No reason not to run with Wolf for the rest of the season. Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, and I think that's probably a conversation that's had to happen between Craig Conroy and Ryan Huska at a certain point this season, where I don't think as a GM, and I don't think Craig Conroy operates like this, by the way, I don't think you can judge your coaching staff right now on wins and losses. You've taken too much talent out of their hands. You've changed the cards in their hands and how they have to play them. I think it would be very unfair to Ryan Huska and the rest of that coaching staff to judge them on wins and losses right now. I think the process is important. I think having that communication as to who's playing and why and where they're playing in the lineup, I think those are important conversations that I think carry more value right now between Ryan Huska and Craig Conroy than the wins and losses do. And yes, for Ryan Huska, at the end of the day, his job is to go out and win hockey games with whatever tools he has at his disposal. But at the same time, and again, I still think we're going to see a lot of Dustin Wolf down the stretch. I don't think it matters entirely too much that you were seeing Jacob Markstrom get a back-to-back start here.
And with that being said, Huska's a smart man. He knows that the wins and losses is, at this point of the season, probably won't matter a whole lot. And, you know, if he is the coach going forward, which I have no reason to believe that he's not, Wolf is essentially that's the future goaltender. That's what he's being brought up to be. So I can't see, you know, Huska doing this and saying, this is for my record. It's more, you know, Dustin Wolf is their young guy, and I don't think this is going to be Markstrom getting most of them down the stretch.
This text is not at all surprised. Logo Marky is our Vezina caliber goaltender that Connie is going to try like hell to convince to stay this summer. He told us all along, retool, retool, retool. They want to stay competitive the next couple of years. Best way to ensure that would be elite-level goaltending. And Joel and Cranston text in and says, hey, guys, why is Manji's injury a secret on a non-playoff team? I can't really answer that one. It's a bit strange. I don't disagree with you at all, Joel. It's a couple times later in the season we've seen these day-to-day things turn into, okay, well, it's been 2 weeks, so that's 14 day-to-days. But I don't at this point, you know, for a non-playoff team, it's more of a frustration than anything and more of a, you know, I don't think the NHL is super concerned about how the Flames are handling injury designations because their games aren't as important. Yeah, is it a bit strange? We haven't heard more about it. We don't really have any specifics on it. Sure, but that's just kind of how everyone's operating at this point in the year. So a bit frustrating, but at least we've been told, we heard from Ryan Huska a little earlier, it's close, expecting to be back sooner rather than later, and maybe that's as soon as, you know, Thursday against the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, I talked to my sources, and none of them had anything on that either.
Okay, so that's good to know. Yeah. Who are your sources again?
There's so many to name. There's no time.
Oh, makes sense.
We got to get to break soon.
Yeah, he's Shan, one of my outstanding producers. I'm Logan Gordon along with you. Take a break, come back. Time for a look at the opposition. It's the Anaheim Ducks. Their rebuild continues in California. Alexis Downey's going to join us next. Talk all things Anaheim Ducks on a Flames game day. It's the Flames and the Ducks right here on your home of Calgary Flames hockey. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. All right, it's a game day here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Flames and the Anaheim Ducks. Last meeting in Calgary between the Pacific Division rivals this season. Flames still have a California trip to complete, which will see them in Anaheim next Friday, but the Flames looking to close out this road trip, or this homestand, excuse me, with a victory against Anaheim. Dostal versus Markstrom is your goaltending matchup. Our pregame coverage starts with Pat Steinberg at 6 o'clock tonight right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. To help us take a look at the opposition tonight, the Anaheim Ducks, very happy to welcome in from Duck Stream, Alexis Downey joins us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Alexis, thanks for doing this today. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been a light day so far, ready for the game tonight, but how are things going for you?
We're good. We got some unexpected warm weather here in Calgary, so we're pretending it's playoff time and that we'll be able to experience this in a month, even though we know it's all going to come to an end soon.
Always good when you can get some warm weather at this time of the year.
Yeah, you guys have it a little differently than we do, so we're really happy to get anything that isn't snow in March, but that's hockey season. That's how it goes around here. We're getting set for the Flames and the Ducks tonight. And look, it hasn't been a perfect season for the Ducks. I'm not breaking any stories to anybody there, but I guess compared to expectations at the beginning of the season, Alexis, how is the season sort of being viewed as we come to a close here?
Yeah, it's been definitely a lot of ups and downs throughout the season for the Ducks. It started out, you know, they had a really strong road trip in the beginning of the year. They were winning a lot of games. And then since then, the injury bug has really hurt them throughout the year. And that's never something you can plan for, unfortunately. We've seen some of our best guys come in and out of the lineup, and it's been hard to build that chemistry throughout the lines, you know, night in and night out. So I think that, you know, the expectation this season coming into the year was to continue to build off of what the structure and the foundation that was set at the beginning of the year, having a new head coach, you know, bringing in a guy like Leo Carlson from the draft, but just building off that foundation. And we've seen a lot of that. We've seen a lot of strides from some of these rookies that have been in the lineup this year, but it's definitely been difficult as of late. March was a tough month for the Anaheim Ducks, honestly. And I know that they just want to finish out these last, you know, seven or so games on a high note. But this road trip in particular has been difficult for the team.
You mentioned the new head coach and the expectations coming in with Greg Cronin. What's it been like for him in his first season with the Ducks? Where has the team really excelled under him in his first season behind the bench?
Yeah, you know, having head coach Greg Cronin, at least from also my perspective, he is really a teacher. He spent so many years, you know, in the minor league and just coaching at that level. So what he was able to do there, just teaching guys how to get them ready for the next level, I think it's a great piece in the sense that he has all these younger guys here in Anaheim, too. So he's helped teach them and get them prepared in different ways. But also in teaching off the ice was some of us as well. So he's awesome, been really awesome to work with. But it's definitely been a transitional year for him. I mean, he doesn't shy away from the fact, you know, this is his first head coaching stint in the NHL. He's 60 years old. He's been in coaching for such a long time that he's also learning from this first year, how the schedule is, how, you know, the team has off days. They don't get to practice as much. There's a lot more games just in general. So it's been a big learning year, I would say, for him, but just the team has responded well. And I think that, you know, some of the guys have adjusted better to his system than maybe some other ones. Sure. But overall, it's been just, like I said, a learning year for everyone involved.
What about some of those youngsters? I want to talk to you about Leo Carlson specifically in a bit, but this is a team with a lot of really impressive youngsters. You talk about Mason McTavish and, you know, Owen Zellweger's on the back end. And I imagine that Pat Verbeek liked a lot of what Greg Cronin brought because of how he's going to relay these youngsters and how he's going to help develop them into the future stars of this team. What's his relationship been like with those young players, and how has he sort of brought them into his system as the season's gone on?
Yeah, that's been a big important part of the year for sure. You know, you were talking about Leo Carlson on that end. He's obviously been a huge part of it, but some of the other guys, Pavel Mintikov on the back end, I think he's been honestly one of the biggest surprises for us this season. You know, he has been a steady piece throughout this season for the most part. You know, he missed last game on Sunday, but, you know, he's someone that has grown so much in his first year, and I know that head coach Greg Cronin really likes him. And then you think about a guy like Mason McTavish. He went through that scoring dry spell as of late, but finally got back on the board on Sunday. So that was good to see. But he really likes his work ethic. Mason's one of those guys that's first on the ice, last off the ice. He's a hockey guy through and through, and that's that does really well with head coach Greg Cronin because he is just like that. So I think that he's been able to relate to some of those younger guys in a lot more ways that maybe some more veteran coaches in the NHL might not be able to relate to some of the younger players that come into the league.
Let's talk specifically about Leo Carlson, because this guy came in with such high expectations, obviously the second overall draft pick last year, and they took an interesting approach to start the season. He wasn't an everyday NHLer to start things off, Alexis. He's been through 48 games this year. He's got 24 points. What's it been like for him? What have you seen out of him in year one coming in with such high expectations for the young man?
Leo Carlson has been so awesome to work with. He's such a great person to be around all the time, very easy to work with. And he just brings that sense of energy, that young spirit every day. He wants to learn, wants to get better. And it's really refreshing to be around because, you know, he's only 19 years old. This is all new to him, being in a completely new country as well, not having your family. But he's taken every challenge head on, honestly. And, you know, he's had the setbacks of having some injuries this season, but he's done really well in preparing his body. Every time he's gotten back out on the ice, it's like he hasn't missed a game. And he's someone that is really such a difference maker for this team. You know, when he's on the ice, he's making plays. He's really, really good with his just like his own entrances and finding space. He's good at there's just so many parts of his game that you see from this young, early age that are only going to continue to get better with, you know, making the guys around him even better. So I think it's just been a lot of excitement around what's to come from him. And I know that, you know, he's had some trouble bearing down on some of his chances and scoring a bit more, and that's been a bit frustrating for him. But it's something that he's learned is just a part of the process, and that's something that Greg Cronin has talked with him about. And that, you know, it's hard to come in with high expectations like that for Leo, but he really is, you know, living up to everything that you heard about him going into it, and just we're really lucky to have him in Anaheim.
What about the other side of that coin? Pat Verbeek brought in some veterans to this team to sort of help insulate a really young roster, and the guys that come to mind obviously are Alex Killorn and a guy like Radko Gudas on the back end. How have you seen them bring that veteran presence in? And do you think it's helped the youngsters in Anaheim this season having those kind of guys around?
Yeah, it's definitely helped having that veteran presence for sure, especially for Alex Killorn. You know, he skates on a line with Leo Carlson. They've really started to build some chemistry on that top line together. And it's awesome to see how much Killer will just take to these younger guys. You know, he's always working with them. He's talking to them. He's very vocal with them. He's kind of a quieter person in general, but with these younger guys, he's a locker room guy. And, you know, he really loves to, and is very complimentary to Leo's game and enjoys playing alongside him. And then, you know, on the back end, a guy like Radko Gudas, he's awesome to have on your team. I know playing on the other side of that always is, it might not always be fun, but he's very beloved in the locker room. He has certainly been one of the big leaders as well this season. It's been tough not having him as of late, especially on this road trip. But, he's taken a lot of the rookies under his wing, just showing them the ropes of how to go along being in the NHL, things that you should be doing, and just leading them along. And I know that him and Lukáš Dostál in particular are very close. Dostál actually lived with the Gudas family for a little bit in the beginning of the year. So it's really special that those guys are able to connect with some of these younger guys and make them, you know, feel more a part of the team and make them feel more comfortable in general.
Taking a look at the opposition tonight for the Calgary Flames, it's the Anaheim Ducks for their last visit to Calgary of the season. Alexis Downey is along with us from Duckstream and the Anaheim Ducks. Okay, so the other part of that coin is obviously, you know, similar boat here in Calgary. We know at this point of the season, Alexis, the team isn't going to the playoffs, and they sold off some assets at the trade deadline. They got some more draft picks. When you look at this team and when you sort of see it from the lens of Pat Verbeek or Greg Cronin, when you look at where this team needs to start to improve as the years go on and this rebuild continues in Anaheim? What's kind of stuck out this season as areas where the Ducks need to take a step forward in the next couple of seasons?
Yeah, that's something we actually had the chance to speak with Pat Verbeek about after the trade deadline. What are some of the things that he's going to be looking for come the off season, areas that he wants to tighten up? And certainly the bottom six in that forward group is going to be an area that he's looking to in the off season, because there just has been so many changes up front this season. Granted, we've had a lot of injuries, but you know, just trying to work on that end. There's seven draft picks for the Anaheim Ducks in the first three rounds of this year's draft. So continuing to build that draft capital and the prospect pool. We have a lot of great players that are in juniors right now that are down with the San Diego Gulls developing this season. Olin Zellweger, having him come up for the rest of the year has been awesome. He's someone that people were really excited about having, and it was great to see him get his first goal on Sunday. So just guys like him, and then you even think of a guy like Cutter Gauthier, just acquiring him during this season, a part of that Jamie Drysdale trade. That was a big deal for Pat Verbeek. Obviously difficult to let a guy go like Jamie, but really exciting, and someone that Verbeek had his eye on, even going back to that draft year with Cutter. So the fact that, you know, there are so many prospects down the pipeline for the Anaheim Ducks and more to come in the draft this year just shows where the team is at in terms of they're feeling more ready. They're, you know, I can't say, you know, about playoffs or bust or anything like that, but I think that the team is in a point where, you know, by next season, they're going to be more, maybe not even necessarily in the rebuild mode anymore, but yeah, in the more wanting to win now, or starting to build towards winning more of, you know, from this season to next season. So,
And before I let you go, I'd love to ask you about Trevor Zegras. I know it's been a tough season, but so many people, I think right now, when they look at this Anaheim team, the first guy they think of, Alexis, has got to be Trevor and what he's accomplished at just 23 years old, but kind of a mix of injury. And I wonder, you know, how much a new head coach and trying to adjust to all of that sort of led to what's been, I'm imagining, a pretty frustrating year for him.
Yeah, it certainly has been a difficult year for Trevor Zegras. You know, before he got injured back in January in that Nashville game, he was playing some of his better hockey. He was looking a lot more comfortable in the system under Greg Cronin. And just overall, his game was developing to the Trevor Zegras that we knew. So that injury really was difficult for him to have to deal with. And then finally we got him back here, you know, last week, and it's been good to have him back, and he's been shining in some of these games. It's just a matter of, you know, finishing some of those chances, but he's been making that impact on the ice like we know from him. But certainly a year where I think, you know, he got his contract in the off season, and one of the emphasis for that was going to be working on his defensive game. And that's an area that he certainly has worked on, but you know, his offensive game has struggled a bit this year, and, you know, you're going to go through those ebbs and flows, and he knows that, but having only played, you know, 24 games on the year, it's not something that he imagined or any of us imagined would happen this year, but sometimes it's just the way it goes with injuries. And he's been focusing on these last few games to, you know, continue to show what he can and hope, you know, for more offensive output, as, you know, he was able to get a point on Sunday. So that's about where Trevor Zegras has been at this year.
Alexis, really appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us as always. Really great insight. Looking forward to seeing the future of this Ducks team. They got some really exciting players, and that's, as you mentioned, without Cutter Gauthier around already, and the buzz that came with that trade earlier in the season. So thanks again for hopping on with us. Enjoy the game tonight, hey?
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, you too.
Take care. Alexis Downey joining us for a look at the opposition this afternoon down the Atlas Peach and Sports Bar guest hotline. It is the Anaheim Ducks. Flames will see the Ducks again in Anaheim next Friday to close out their season series against this Ducks team. And another down year, Shan, for the Ducks. They're not making the playoffs. They're going to be in the mix for one of the higher draft picks. And as Alexis mentioned, a ton of high picks still for this team. They've got the Oilers first rounder. They've got the Bruins second rounder. They also earned picks in the third round from Pittsburgh and San Jose. Anaheim could add to the already pretty deep prospect pool, or perhaps they're one of the teams that gets aggressive and maybe starts to look at moving some of these picks for more established NHLers.
I'm going to say something that I never thought I would ever say. Where would this team be without Frank Vetrano?
That's a good point. They'd be a lot worse in the standings.
He's got 30 goals for him. He's got, first of all, 12 power play goals, and the next highest on the team is 5. He's got the guy in second on their team in shots by 100. He's been stellar this year, but they're still not a good team. And yeah, you've had all these draft picks and all these young guys are starting to play. I love Mason McTavish's game. I love his game. He is, it's so early to say this, but he is like captain potential kind of thing. And, you know, we saw that with Team Canada. Anyways, they have a lot of young guys, and Leo Carlson's very promising. I think he's going to be one of the better players in the league. And Mintyukov is a great young defenseman, but at some point, it's going to have to translate into wins. And I know they're still in the developing process, but this is a team that's loaded with skill. And some of your gritty guys were a guy like Adam Henrique, who's gone. Killorn is obviously the guy that's there, and injuries have been a thing for him. But I'm curious to see what happens with this Ducks team, because you can absolutely load a team with skill and high-end draft picks and whatever, but at some point, it's going to have to start clicking together, and you're also going to have to find some glue guys on your team rather than a bunch of skill guys like Zegras. And I'm really interested to see how the Ducks pan out in the next 3 years.
It's going to be an interesting group to watch as they try to make that transition. Now, Alexis does content with the Ducks, and mm-hmm. Ducks Stream is an Anaheim Ducks product, so I'm going to dive too deep into Trevor Zegras, knowing that, you know, she works with the team, and I don't want her to burn any bridges coming on my show by any means. But, I mean, I think Trevor Zegras really feels like the odd man out in Anaheim right now, given some of the skilled forwards that they have. Look, the guy got a lot of hype. He's a super skilled player. There's no way around that. But I think sometimes we forget 65 points is his career high. He scored 23 2 years in a row, and that's, I mean, wrong. It's nothing to sniff at, but you know, or it's nothing to disregard, but it's not superstar numbers, right? 65 points is a good productive NHLer, don't get me wrong, but you know, he was regarded as a superstar player, and he was the cover athlete for NHL EA Sports, and I don't know that he's ever going to reach that potential, at least in Anaheim, and given some of the youngsters that are coming up, I wonder, especially moving out a guy like Jamie Drysdale, they still got Zellweger, they've got, you mentioned Mintyukov, you know, they've got some good defensemen there, but I wonder if you don't move a Zegras for a defenseman, if you're Anaheim, a similar young defenseman that maybe needs a change of scenery there to a team that could use a scoring threat like Zegras. I see so many guys coming up in this team that I'm like, I don't know. I think, you know, Cutter Gauthier, Leo Carlson, Mason McTavish. I don't know if I see Trevor Zegras fitting into that group.
I was talking with a friend of mine who's a huge Ducks fan, and we both agreed, like,
why?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I probably could ask him that because he's from here. Loves the Ducks, whatever.
Weird choice.
I agree. One of the prospects that really intrigues me for this team is Sam Dickinson. Right now, their best defenseman is Cam Fowler, and he's a dash 36. I know it's somewhat of a team stat, but still. Sam Dickinson is one of those shutdown guys. I'm curious to see, you know, they would probably reach a little bit with the pick that they have to get him, but he's that solid defensive defenseman that they need, because, like, Zellweger is ridiculous. I've been very high on Zellweger since I watched him at the World Juniors. Not many people move like that guy. He scored his first goal a couple nights ago.
Yeah, if they're at 3, are they taking Dickinson? I don't know.
I don't think you can, but like maybe a trade down scenario. But because, you know, obviously you want to win the lottery and get Macklin Celebrini, and there's Ivan Demidov, and there's so many great players, sure. But like a top defenseman is something that I think they need. I don't really know if you need any more, especially with Cutter Gauthier coming up soon. Do you really need any more skilled forwards on this team? That's where I think the big logjam is here.
John Gibson's such a weird one, too.
He should have been traded 3 years ago.
He's 30. He's not old by any means.
No, and he's a great goalie.
$6.4 million. It's a pretty decent cap hit for a starter. I mean, he's got that modified no trade, so he controls a good aspect of where he wants to go.
And if he wants to...
But if he wants to stay in Anaheim, and there's no reason you shouldn't, by the
exactly.
way. Exactly. I mean, a lot worse places to play hockey than in Anaheim, California.
You're bored? Go to the beach, go to Disneyland, go to, I don't know, anything that you want because you're right in California, so why not? That's the thing. Maybe that's why he wants to stay. Can you blame him for that? No.
Anaheim, as we speak today, 75 games played in their season, 52 points, a minus 90 goal differential. They are 10 points clear of Columbus in the reverse standings. They're kind of fighting with Chicago for that second worst spot. They've embraced Team Tank the final couple of games this season. They've lost 4 in a row, 1-8-1 in their last 10. They are the opponent tonight for the Calgary Flames. We'll take a break, come back on the other side, switch our focus over to baseball, a disappointing effort from the Jays to kick off their series with the Astros. Our pal Sho Ali is going to join us. We'll get a Jays report in from Shan with the details on tonight's matchup as well, plus taking a look at the NHL scoreboard on this Tuesday night. All of that when Hour 2 kicks off next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.